In this hour, we're going to talk a little bit about our top story at the TennesseeStar.com today. And very interesting because 2018 was a very good year for Governor-elect Bill Lee. And the question is, will 2019 be a good year for Tennesseans with Governor Bill Lee? And our top story posed this question. Has Governor-elect Bill Lee already breached his, quote, contract with Tennessee, end quote? Now, some of you may not be quite as familiar with this contract for Tennessee. And the reason, one of the reasons is it was a big deal, like about a month before the primary when it was announced on July 3rd, 2018. Remember, at the time, Bill Lee was in third place but rising in that connection. And he was, I think, he had an outside shot, I guess you could say, at that time. That was a perception. You remember Diane Black and Randy Boyd were like throwing broadsides at each other, just attacking each other in very vicious ways. And there was Bill Lee just being a nice guy. But people weren't sure if he was a conservative or a moderate or really what he was because he didn't have a record. So on July 3rd, he sent out a press release from his campaign. And in that press release, they said that he said, 10 for 10 is my contract with Tennesseans, and I look forward to working to enact my conservative vision for Tennessee. Steve, one of the big pluses for Bill Lee was that he was considered a man of character. And so my question to you is, if you are going to be elected and in order to secure that election, you put forward a contract with the people of Tennessee a month before a primary election, would you consider it a sign of good character if the terms of that contract are honored?
You know, you had George W. Bush, or George Herbert Walker Bush, Daddy Bush, who was absolutely ripped when during the campaign for president, he declared that there would be no new taxes. Read my lips. And then, of course, he backed up on that and pushed new and higher taxes. Bill Lee has gone one step better than read my lips. He put out his read my contract and detailed what he said at the time, his 10 for 10, T-E-N for T-E-N-N contract. His term, not ours. He said it was a contract with Tennesseans. He said it was his priority list. Again, his words, his tweets. I had a text from somebody this morning saying, well, you know, he hadn't even taken office yet. You know, why are you holding him accountable? If this is accurate, it's like, it's not what the Tennessee Star thinks. It's not what Steve Gill thinks or Mike Patrick Leahy thinks. His words in his contract for Tennessee were put in writing. They were put on the web. They were reported in the Tennessee Journal, the Tennessee and other news outlets across the state, the Tennessee Star. And you don't have to trust us in our recollection that these are the 10 items that he included in his 10 for 10. We've got linked up in the story in the Tennessee Star today, the actual story at the time that includes his quotes, the actual tweets at the time that includes his words, the actual press release that his current communications director, Chris Walker, was part of producing as his communications director during the campaign. Tony Nichnajad, who's his policy director now, was part of the campaign as the policy director during the campaign. They were the ones, along with Bill Lee, who crafted the contract with Tennessee. Again, his words, not ours. And you can go to the story and click the links to see what he said then. And you can go to the story, TennesseeStar.com, lead story this morning, and click the transition page of the Lee administration that's coming in, where he sets out his, again, his word, not ours, top priorities, the same exact language. The difference is that in the 10 for Tennessee, there were 10 specific items that are now 9 priorities. And when you look further into the details, those 9 priorities don't include 7 of the 10 promised contract items.
Whoa, 7 of the 10?
7 of the 10. And they're very specific. Things like, well, I'm going to make Tennessee a pro-life. I'm going to defend the sanctity of life.
No.
Not in there anymore. We're going to stop illegal immigration. Not in there anymore. We'll go through the list, but you can go to the story, TennesseeStar.com. See it yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. His words, not ours. We're just going to remember them and dissect them for you when we come back in a moment. Hey, good morning. Welcome back in as we roll into a new year. Trying to figure out the distinction between Bill Lee 2018 and Bill Lee 2019 as a candidate. Bill Lee put out a very specific, very detailed plan for Tennessee that he would follow if he was elected governor. He put this out about a month before the election when he was in a fight with Randy Boyd and Diane Black and to some extent Beth Harwell to show that he was actually the conservative. Randy Boyd was being attacked as a moderate. Diane Black was being attacked for a gone Washington, says one thing, but when you looked at what she was actually doing in Washington, she was either voting both ways or couldn't be trusted. And Bill Lee was running as, I'm the trusted conservative. I'm the Christian guy. Now, of course, you know, in the Ten Commandments, there's that one about thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie. You shouldn't put something out that is false in order to fool people into voting for you. So what did Bill Lee put in writing as his contract with Tennessee during the campaign a month before Election Day to try and show he was more conservative than Randy Boyd and Diane Black? He put out his 10 for 10, T-E-N for T-E-N-N, that, again, his words, not ours, he dubbed as his contract with Tennesseans, that it was his conservative vision of what he would do as governor. And I think, like May Beavers, who endorsed him about that same time, helped actually put this together. He was pulling endorsements from folks that were solid, dependable, known conservatives to endorse him and to endorse his plan. So his list that, again, he put on his website. Now, of course, it's missing now. You know, you go to the same URL, the same link.
The page is gone.
It's not there anymore. The page is gone. Yeah, it was apparently invisible ink.
It was disappeared.
It's disappeared.
So,
but there's a new one on his transition page. He now has 9 self-described priorities
and
for his administration.
How many of those 10 from his original 10 for 10 contract? How many of those are on his new 9 list of priorities?
I guess 9 just isn't as alliterative. 9 for Nolensville. 9 for Knoxville. Maybe he was trying to run statewide, so he needed 10 for 10. And now it's just 9 things that I might stick to, but I'm not even inaugurated yet. I'm not even sworn in yet. So we'll see if that even lasts the next month. But out of the 10 that he promised in his, again, his words, contract with Tennesseans, do you think the Lee Company sticks to their contracts as well
they
as
must.
Bill Lee does?
They must.
Anyway, out of the 10 items, 7 are gone from his 9 priorities as listed on his transition.
Now, let me ask you this. If 7 are gone, and that was a contract that he apparently signed with the people of Tennessee before they voted
That's
for
what he
him
said he was doing.
In the primary, is it a good business practice to not honor that contract, to actually disappear the contract?
Well, let's put it in detailed terms that people can understand in our everyday lives. Say, for example, you decide you want to build a new deck on the back of your home, and you got, you know, 100-foot deck planned, and your contractor comes in and says, oh, we can build that deck, you know, 100-foot deck, 15 feet wide, 100 feet long. Yeah, we can do that, and it's going to be $15,000. And you write them a check for half of it, and they build it. And then about a month later, even though they said they'd do it in a week, a month later they show up and say, okay, we're done. And you look at it and you go, wait, it's 30 feet by 15. You've done one-third, 30% of what you promised, and yet you're demanding 100% of the pay. Do you think that you would feel like the contract had been performed if your 100-foot deck is 30 feet long and 15 feet wide instead of 100 feet long and 15 feet wide? I think you'd sue them for a breach of contract.
I think you would.
If you go to a restaurant today and they pretend with the menu on the outside, and when you go to their website and you go in And it's, man, it's a great steak place. And everybody's, you know, raving, oh, it's going to be this great new steak place. They're going to have ribeye, and they're going to have strip steak. They're going to have bacon-wrapped filet, and your mouth is watering for this steakhouse. And you go in, and you look at the menu, and you order this, you know, bone-in ribeye. And you got the baked potato coming, and you're so excited. And then when they come to actually deliver your meal, and it's one of those price-fixed kind of prepaid things, so you go ahead and pay. And then, man, you're looking for that steak. You're looking for the sizzling plate like Ruth's Chris. You're looking for the salad bar maybe that they have like at Sperry's, these great steak places. And then when it comes to the plate, it looks entirely different. They go, oh, no, we are actually an Indian vegetarian restaurant. do you want more pond with that? You know, yeah. This isn't what I paid for. This isn't what I contracted. This is what you pretended to be. So let's look at the 10 items that Bill Lee promised, of which 7 are now missing from his, and again, his words, priorities, top priorities. There's only 9 of them now on his transition website. 1, foster an environment where jobs continue to grow. He's kind of kept that on
okay,
the,
kind of kept
on the,
that,
that you know, job growth is important. Rethink public education with major vocational reforms, real school choice, and civics education. That was number 2 on his contract. But now in his education priorities, he's talking about testing and vocational, but no mention of real school choice,
no.
Parental choice. School choice, in fact, he's told people is off his list.
No real school choice.
No, civics education.
No civics education.
So kind of like the whole thing, 2/3 of that one promise are missing already.
So civics education now is not a priority, although that's what he told the conservative Sentinel group. That it would be a priority.
And parental choice, that was a biggie. Until, of course, he got elected, and now it's
and now it's nowhere not. To be seen.
He indicated number 3 on his list of 10 was stand up for rural Tennessee by expanding economic opportunity and winning the war on opioids. What he's done with his priorities now, because he eliminated so many of the other ones, they couldn't figure a way to get back to 10, so they're only at 9 priorities. But they broke out number 3 on his list. And again, go to TennesseeStar.com. Read the list yourself. Don't trust me. Don't take my word for it. Read his contract, Bill Lee's contract with Tennessee that laid out these 10 items. He's now got expanding the agriculture economy and devoting attention to rural economic development and winning the war on opioids as 3 separate items in his new 9 priorities. So he's taken number 2 on his list and made it 3 items. But so he has retained that one, but it was all in one list. And then get tough on the state budget by making government smaller and more efficient. No mention.
Not
in the
there.
Not there. Because apparently the bureaucrats that are now running his team don't really like that idea of smaller government, more efficient government. I mean, there's a bunch of lobbyists that are helping put together his administration. And this smaller government means less money that they can suck off of for their clients. So number 4 is
gone.
Ensure new voices in Nashville by passing term limits and challenging the influence culture of insiders. No mention of term limits. That's not a priority
anymore. So that number 5 is gone.
And challenging the influence culture of insiders. Again, when you've got lobbyists who are helping assemble your cabinet, when you've got, lobbyists that have been actively involved in this process, he's got, and Democrats. I mean, yeah, Democrats love big government. So you've got Butch Ely, who gave $1,350 to Phil Bredesen to try and beat Marsha Blackburn in this election cycle. He's the chief operations officer. He's got a guy named Blake Harris, who's an out-of-state political consultant, as his chief of staff. He's the guy whose tweets we revealed a few weeks ago,
right?
A decided never-Trumper. So you've got Democrats, you've got lobbyists, you've got insiders. And it's going to be real interesting, Michael, to see how much of the Haslam administration holds over, which would be the culture of insiders, the people who are already there. We've already seen several of the Haslam administration cabinet officials being held over. Will Bill Lee retain, for example, somebody from the Tin Care office that helped push for expansion of Obamacare under Bill Haslam? Will we see people put in place at the Department of Education for Bill Lee who are pro-Common Core? So will we see that continued bureaucratic insider culture revealed as he continues to make appointments known in his team? Because as we've pointed out, personnel is policy, and the personnel he's put in place reflect his new priorities, not the campaign priorities. Okay, so the term limits, oh, that's gone.
That's gone.
Create a new office of faith-based and community issues. Number six, gone. No mention in the priorities. Just gone.
Not there.
So again, during the campaign, he was campaigning as a Christian conservative you could count on and depend on. But now he doesn't need a faith-based office because he won. How foolish of you to trust me and believe me. Number seven, make government more accessible, open, and accountable to taxpayers. Here's his plan on that. He's retained that sort of. He's going to do State of the Union addresses, speeches in all three parts, the grand divisions of the state of Tennessee.
As if people can't watch those.
That's accessible, open, and accountable. So, okay, he's retaining that one. Protect and defend a culture of life. Very pro-life.
Yeah. Not there now.
Not part of the priority.
Not a priority
list.
Now that he's won.
Defend our constitutional liberties without compromise. Not included. That was number nine. And enforce the rule of law on immigration. Now, he does have a rule of law provision in his new priorities devoted to comprehensive prison reform, which means let's let felons out and presumably get to vote. And we want to enforce the rule of law in terms of criminal prosecution, but enforcing the rule of law with respect to not allowing sanctuary cities, sanctuary city policies, not allowing illegal immigration to expand in Tennessee. Number 10 on his list has disappeared.
So, but I don't see criminal justice reform on this 10 for 10 list before the primary. I don't see it at all.
No, that wasn't
there, but it's there now.
Again, it's kind of amazing. Once you bring in Democrats and rhino Republicans to run your administration, it's amazing how the priority list changes. And for Bill Lee, that means 7 of the 10 promises he made with his contract for Tennesseans have now disappeared. And his new priorities tend to be more like the establishment rhino Democrats that he's assembled as his team. We'll take your thoughts next. 615-737-9522. Did you vote for Bill Lee based on his promises or based upon his new Democrat rhino priorities? What motivated your vote? And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. If you'll go to TennesseeStar.com, you'll find links to some of the stories that we're talking about today, including a detailed analysis of Bill Lee's new priorities, basically as set forth on his transition page. You know, in just a couple of weeks, he's going to be sworn in as governor of Tennessee. And during the campaign for governor, he had a very detailed list of 10 items that he claimed were his priorities, that were what he was going to do if he was elected governor, that he termed, again, his words, not ours, as his contract with Tennessee, that like a CEO, you want to have a vision laid out of what your company is going to do and how you're going to do it. And Bill Lee, on July 3rd, released his contract with Tennessee. We reported it in the Tennessee Star. The Tennessee Journal reported it, the Tennessean, the Knoxville News Sentinel. Others reported it. And maybe they thought we'd all forget about it. You know, it was just, oh, that was just campaign stuff. But it was a contract. Kind of like Newt Gingrich years ago did the contract with America, and the 10 items in the contract with America were actually brought up and voted upon. And some of the items were what the House could do without getting Democrats and Republicans to vote and the Senate to go along with it. But in the House, Newt Gingrich promised that in the first, I think it was 30 or 45 days, they would bring up every item in the contract for America for an actual vote. And they did. They did exactly what was promised.
And did Newt Gingrich back in 1994, after he put out the contract with America, did he disappear it from any websites?
No, nor did he come up with a new priorities for America that, you know, eliminated 7 of the 10 items in the contract for America. So
what I want to know, Steve, is, and by the way, if anybody who voted for Bill Lee wants to comment on this, or even if you didn't vote for Bill Lee, call us here at 615-737-9522, 615-737-9522.
And I'm going to be particularly anxious to hear from folks like, well, I mean, we've got a lot of good friends that are conservatives. We're conservatives. You know, Bill Lee put this out as, this is why you should vote for me because I'm a conservative and here's what I'll do specifically. Don't trust Randy Boyd. He's a moderate. Don't trust Dianne Black. She's a Washington moderate, and they're both being mean to each other. So vote for me because I'm a Christian and I'm a conservative, and here's my list of 10 specific items that justify a vote for me. May Beavers endorsed him, and that was a big impact on a lot of voters, particularly in Middle Tennessee, because if May says he's a conservative, if May endorses these 10 items, then I believe her. May, do you feel like you got, hornswoggled?
Well, here's
Jeff Hartline.
Yeah.
Jeff Hartline was a big early conservative supporter of Bill Lee, helped give credential and credibility to Bill Lee. I think Jeff may have had some input into the 10 for Tennessee.
Yeah.
When they've thrown out 7 of the 10 items now with the new priorities of Bill Lee, and again, this isn't saying that his new priorities are bad. Some of them are nice enough policies, but they're a move to the establishment. They're a move to the left. They're a move away from what he promised. And fine, why not say I've developed additional priorities that I'm going to work on, like healthy Tennessee? Well, that's good. It sounds a little like they may be moving towards doing what Bill Haslam tried to do twice as governor, pushing Obamacare expansion. And maybe now that the lobbyists from the healthcare industry are sitting at the table helping select the people that are going to be governing with Bill Lee, maybe all of a sudden expansion of Obamacare is a priority. Maybe the person he puts in as his commissioner of revenue will be somebody who's a tax cutter, not somebody who embraced the gas tax increase, raising taxes on Tennessee drivers $300 billion at a time, $300 million at a time we had a $2 billion surplus. Now, maybe his commissioner of revenue will be a tax cutter, or maybe it's going to be somebody who was at the Department of Revenue, who was maybe even the commissioner of revenue, who helped push the Haslam tax increase. Transportation. Will it be somebody new who's got a track record for effectively watching taxpayer dollars, or will it be the same folks who've wasted taxpayer dollars? We will see with the additional appointments that Bill Lee makes whether his priorities as established during the campaign will be the same ones as he governs. I mean, for example, Commissioner of Education, will it be somebody who's got a track record as being pro-Common Core, or will it be somebody who's maybe been opposed to Common Core and in favor of education reforms that actually work? So personnel is policy, and we're already seeing that the people that Bill Lee is putting into his senior leadership positions, both in his cabinet and in his governor's office, are not people who apparently subscribe to the 10 items he campaigned on, because 7 of the 10 are now missing.
Well, the other question I have for Bill Lee supporters and people who may have voted for Bill, or even people who didn't vote for Bill, what does it say about the integrity of a politician who campaigns for a month prior to a primary on a contract, and I clearly has a website with a separate URL with all elements of that contract, and then disappears that contract, makes no mention of that contract after he wins the primary?
And again, why not just take the priorities you said during the campaign and make them your priorities as governor? What's changed, other than the fact that, again, the people that are now apparently running the Lee administration are lobbyists and Haslam holdovers and Democrats? That's the people that he's selected to be his leadership team, which changes the priorities. Now go down the priority list that he now says. Again, there's only 9 instead of 10. Apparently they carved up, one example in his contract with Tennessee was rethink public education, major vocational reforms, real school choice, and civics education. Well, real school choice and civics education are now missing. Stand up for rural Tennessee by expanding economic opportunity and winning the war on opioids. He's now divided those into 3 separate categories in his priorities to try and get closer to 10 items. And we'll see if, again, the priorities that he has now are not necessarily bad. They're just not what he ran on. And the 7 out of the 10 that are missing are important. Let's go to the phone calls and we'll come back with what some of these priorities. Again, don't take our word for it. Go to TennesseeStar.com. Read the story. We've got links that actually take you to, the missing URL of his 10 for 10 contract. But we've got the list up there with the details and his press release at the time that sets forth what he had to say about his contract with Tennesseans and his new priorities on his transition website. So you can, again, don't take my word for it. Don't trust what I say. Look at what Bill Lee wrote You know, as we said earlier, George Herbert Walker Bush said, read my lips. Well, Bill Lee said, read my contract. And you can still read what the terms were. You just can't read it on his website. John, you're next on the Tennessee Star Report. 615-737-9522, the number. Good morning.
Morning, Steve. Great show this morning.
Thank you.
You know, I think it's sadly unfortunate that this is the topic, but I think it's an accurate topic that needs to be discussed because it's something that a lot of Tennessee conservatives were concerned about throughout the primary season, particularly after Senator Beavers announced that she wasn't going to continue her campaign for, you know, largely lack of funding and support.
And her endorsement of Bill Lee was big to a lot of conservatives.
Oh, it was. It was huge. There was a lot of people sitting on the sidelines going, you know, well, what's Meg going to do? And I think part of that came down to you had essentially four candidates in the primary, three of which were seen as, you know, viable candidates. And of the three, there were huge portions of the conservative bloc of voters that were going, you know, never Boyd and never Black. And to some extent, Lee got their attention, not because he was better, but because he was the only alternative left standing in the forest when you excluded the others.
If you trusted that he was the conservative he was claiming to be.
Well, yeah, and that's one reason I wanted to call in this morning is, you know, part of what I do is for almost a quarter century now, I've served as the executive director for the Tennessee Firearms Association. And we watched this race pretty hard, and TFA ended up never taking a position of support or endorsement on any of the candidates in the governor's race, including during the general election. And it was because we had huge reservations about whether or not Bill Lee, given his past history and his involvement with Tennesseans for Economic Growth, was actually a conservative, or if he was just playing the, you know, I'm new to this game, support me because I'm fresh blood like Trump was. And I think it's unfortunate that we're seeing some of that with his 10 for Tennessee promises sort of eroding and morphing into what I would consider to be the establishment Republican platform as opposed to the conservative platform.
Yeah, and I think you would pay particular attention to one of the items that he promised in his contract, number 9, was defend our constitutional liberties without compromise. Of all the ones that are missing of the 7 missing items in his contract with Tennessee of the 10, the fact that apparently he doesn't feel like defending our constitutional liberties without compromise is worthy of retaining as a priority.
True.
Considering he's going to place his hand on a Bible and swear to uphold the Constitution, I think the fact that going in, he doesn't think that should be a priority ought to cause all Tennesseans, whether you're Democrat, Libertarian, Republican, or just kind of agnostic about politics, the fact that we have a governor who's about to be sworn into office who doesn't think defending our constitutional liberties is a priority anymore.
That's true. One of the things that, you know, we obtained early on was a video of Lee speaking to one of our groups where he said he would not support constitutional carry, largely because he said, and I'm paraphrasing, that his sheriff, which was Jeff Long at the time, told him it was a bad idea and that it was not good for citizens to be able to carry guns.
And we can expect that to be a priority he will stick with. John Harris, thanks for calling in. We'll catch up with you after the break. We got more calls, 737-9522. And welcome in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. And if you'll go to TennesseeStar.com, you can find links to some of the stories that we're talking about today, including our top story of the day. During the campaign for governor, Bill Lee released a 10 for 10, T-E-N for T-E-N-N, plan that he called his contract with Tennesseans. He was very specific about his view that this somewhat detailed plan of action was a contract. And at the time he put this out, about a month before the primary election day, he was in a tough contest with Randy Boyd and Diane Black, and he was not leading in the polls at this point.
He didn't.
The first poll he released showing him leading was about 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
So maybe when he put this out, he didn't think anybody would remember it, or that he'd never have to deliver on his contract. Maybe he didn't think he'd get elected. But after he won the primary, apparently at some point pretty quickly after he won the primary, they pulled his contract for Tennessee from his campaign website, and now they have replaced it with his transition team with a new list of priorities. Again, at the time he put his 10 for 10 contract in place, he called that his top priorities. Now his new priority list is only 9 long, and 7 of the 10 items in his contract with Tennessee have disappeared. Now, his new priorities aren't necessarily bad. They're just not what he promised, and they're certainly not as conservative as what he promised. Like, you know, creating jobs and growing our economy, that's good. That's his first of his new priorities. And it notes in his website at the transition, as an employer, Bill knows that a tax on business is a tax on jobs, and that's why he's committed to reducing the tax burden on our job creators, not on taxpayers, just on the
businesses.
So crony capitalism, transactional cronyism. You know, he's going to look out for his buddies in business, but doesn't feel like the gas tax increase of $300 million that Bill Haslam shoved through ought to be repealed and give taxpayers a break. Now, again, they passed that $300 million tax increase while Tennessee had a $2 billion with a B dollar surplus. But Bill Lee doesn't think you can reduce taxes on taxpayers, just on his capital crony buddies who are, you know, inhabiting his new administration. And the lobbyists who are picking them are among those who are in favor of raising taxes on regular Tennesseans while giving tax breaks to companies like, oh, I don't know, FedEx, that got about a $20 million a year tax break at the same time they were raising taxes on fuel for Tennesseans, not for airplanes, by $300 million. So, okay, he wants to give tax breaks to his business cronies. Education is the key for Tennessee to lead the nation. This is the kind of pablum that we always hear. We'll see if he picks a commissioner of education who is somebody who's a pro-Common Core, pro-big government advocate. But nothing in his education agenda now refers to two things that he promised, which was civics education and school choice, parental choice.
What does this do?
They're gone.
Let me ask you this. What does this do, this revelation that he has abandoned 7 of his 10 priorities?
Promises
in his 10 for 10
contract.
Before
he even gets inaugurated.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one thing
for
a politician to break their word after they get into office.
He's breaking it before.
Yeah, to get an early, kind of like early Christmas shopping, those folks that shop in June for Christmas. Bill Lee's wanting to get an early start on breaking his campaign promises, even before he becomes the actual governor.
So George H.W. Bush, back in 1988, got elected by saying, read my lips, no new taxes. About a year and a half later, he broke that pledge.
Yeah, at least waited a year and a half.
Yeah, he broke that pledge. Now, in a tweet on July 5th, basically, Governor-elect Lee said, read my contract, right? And he put a URL, a web page, go read it here. But that web page is gone. There's no mention of this 10 for 10
contract.
Yeah,
you won't find this 10 for 10 contract on his transition page.
It's gone.
It's been replaced by his new 9 priorities, which includes safe neighborhoods for every community. That's not something people ought to be opposed to.
No.
It just wasn't one of his priorities. He didn't campaign on prison reform to make sure that we let more felons go and presumably give them back the right to vote. He's talking about the need to have enforce the rule of law to stop the flow of illegal drugs, stop gang violence, and address juvenile justice reforms. No mention of dealing with illegal immigration and dealing with sanctuary cities, which was one of his promises during the campaign. A healthier Tennessee. Again, it's a good idea, but it sounds like the 10 care Obamacare hospital lobbyists have gotten in there. Again, no reference in his new priorities to protecting life. That was a big thing during the campaign. Yeah, I'm pro-life.
I wonder what.
Not a priority anymore.
State Representative Sheila Butt thinks about that. She was a big backer of that. She's a big backer of Bill Lee. It's gone.
May Beavers, pro-life.
Where are they?
Jeff Hartline. I mean, a lot of the people that were big proponents of Bill Lee because of his conservative values. I guess he's devalued his values even before he gets elected to office. 615-737-9522. 615-737-9522. Don't take our word for it. Go to TennesseeStar.com. Read Bill Lee's promises and his new priorities. See if they measure up. And welcome in. 2019 looms, and as we take a look back to 2018, we'll talk a little bit more about what were some of the top stories of 2018. What do you see as some of the top stories that will likely emerge in 2019 as the battle over the border wall continues? You know, President Trump promised a wall, and the Democrats keep trying to hold him literally. What about a fence? I don't think that voters of Donald Trump took him literally, that they expected necessarily a cinder block wall, that when he was talking about a wall, I think most of us expected, you know, a barrier, a fence, something to keep illegals out of our country on the southern border, where a wall or fence, a barrier, was necessary. If you've got a 150-foot cliff, oh, you know, at the edge of the Rio Grande, and you're not either going to drop down it or climb up it, you don't need to build a fence. You don't need to put any, you know, barbed wire at the top of the 150-foot cliff. In those areas that are open, you put up a barrier, one that works, one that will keep people out. And all these people that keep saying, well, a wall doesn't work. I think the Democrats' new line is it's medieval, that walls don't work. Well, then why is it that caravan of Guatemalans, Hondurans, and Mexicans stopped on the south side of the wall in Tijuana rather than coming on through to the United States of America? The wall kept them out.
So, the wall works.
You know, and you got Barack Obama building a 10-foot wall around his mansion. Apparently he thinks will work. The Vatican, the Pope has a wall around the Vatican. I mean, walls are all over the place. Israel has them. We're helping build them in places like Turkey and Syria to keep people from coming across their borders. Why can't we use American tax dollars to build a wall to keep people out of our country when we're using American tax dollars to build walls to keep people out of other countries?
Makes too much sense. I talked in the 5 o'clock hour with Doug Kellett, and basically the Democrats are not going to bend on this. They do not want to give President Trump a political victory to honor his number one campaign promise, build the wall.
And yet we have the video. It's kind of like having Bill Lee's list of 10 priorities. You know, you put it in writing, you say it on video. I think it's kind of interesting that when you make these promises, you don't keep them, and you got Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all these others that voted for the wall, voted to fund the wall, that have said we need border security, and yet when pressed of, well, what do you mean by border security if you don't mean a wall as part of that security plan, they start stammering and start saying, well, it's up to Donald Trump to come up with it. Well, Donald Trump has come up with the plan, unless you have a better plan that will actually work, because the no wall plan has produced 17 to 18 million illegals in our country. I think we can do better than that. And maybe a wall, which the immigration enforcement folks that are the experts on the border say would help, is kind of what we would need. Anyway, go to TennesseeStar.com. We've got the link to our top story of the day, 10 promises that Bill Lee made with his contract with Tennesseans, and he's now abandoned 7 of the 10, including number 10, which was enforce the rule of law and immigration, missing now from his priorities, and defend our constitutional liberties without compromise, missing, defend a culture of life, not part of his policies anymore. Again, 7 of his 10 promises in July, a month before the election, have disappeared, and a lot of conservatives believed him. I was a bit skeptical.
Yeah, I think you were a bit skeptical.
I was very skeptical.
Yes.
I've been proven right. But you had Mae Beavers and Jeff Hartline and other solid conservatives who endorsed Bill Lee because
they
believed him, and people followed them because they believed them. Jeff Hartline's on our Newsmakers line with us. Jeff, do you feel deceived? Do you feel like you were duped?
I don't think I was duped necessarily. What I think is that my senses were correct, my instincts were correct. The very first time I heard Bill speak up in Robertson County, and he had made a big to-do about the fact that he was on a listening tour. And of course, as you and Michael and I all know, once you get into a job like being the governor, it kind of matters who you put around you that you actually, quote, listen to. And so my question to him right out of the chute was, I understand you're listening to Tennesseans, but who are you listening to, you know, right up close? And I hate to say it at this point, but you know, my concerns are now realized in that he's brought around him all the wrong people. people who hate the president after the president carried all 94 out of 95 counties in Tennessee during the primary in 2016. He's actually forsaken the people who elected him. And I feel particularly bad for the former state senator, Mae Beavers, who talked with Bill on a number of occasions and came out and endorsed him and sent thousands and thousands and thousands of voters into his column. It's the old adage, you got to dance with who brung you.
Well, and people didn't know Bill Lee very well. They knew his promise, and they knew people like you and May and others were Sheila Butt. We're endorsing him, and they knew them, and they trusted them. I tell you, we're going to go to a quick break. Jeff, hang on, because I want to ask you about these people that he's surrounded himself with. We keep saying personnel is policy, and he's recently named Courtney Rogers, who's a good, solid conservative, as his commissioner of veteran affairs. But so what, 1 out of 26? You know, that maybe he'll keep 1 out of 26 promises. We'll be back in a moment. 615-737-9522. Did you believe campaigner Bill Lee that he was a conservative and a Christian? And are you disappointed that now apparently his pro-life, anti-illegal immigration promises are just, you know, dust in the wind? 615-737-9522. This is the Tennessee Star Report.
Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy.
And hey, welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here with you. We're talking this morning about the top story at TennesseeStar.com, TennesseeStar.com. Bill Lee, during the campaign, put out his 10 items that were his top priorities. He called it his 10 for 10, T-E-N for T-E-N-N, contract with Tennesseans. And yet, with his new priorities list of 9 items on his transition, now that he's assembled his, Democrats to be in the top positions in his administration, as he's bringing in folks who don't have any conservative grassroots connections, as he's keeping Obama care expansion advocates from the Haslam administration in his new administration, as he's apparently considering the spouses of lobbyists, Democrat lobbyists, to serve in top positions in his administration. He's abandoned 7 of the 10 items he promised in his contract, including enforcing the rule of law on immigration. And to me, again, it is the most disturbing of all the 10 items that Bill Lee has abandoned in moving to his new priority list is number 9 on his contract with Tennessee, defend our constitutional liberties without compromise. I really feel very concerned about a governor who's getting ready to put his hand on a Bible and swear that he's going to uphold the Constitution when he's decided that defending our constitutional liberties without compromise isn't even worth carrying over into his administration. Jeff Hartline was one of the early conservative grassroots defenders and proponents of Bill Lee, as was State Senator Mae Beavers, as was Sheila Butt, state representative. I wonder, Jeff, and thanks for hanging on, I wonder if new House Speaker, conservative Glenn Cassada, and the Republicans, conservatives in the House, will adhere more to Bill Lee's promises than Bill Lee's going to adhere to his promises.
Boy, really hard to say with the large number of new members of the Tennessee House and the Republican caucus. I've spoken to most of these folks. They seem to be individuals who have kind of awakened to the move in the state towards a more conservative Republican Party. But as we all know, leadership matters. And, you don't want to be, as a freshman, the odd person out of a wave that is you think is sweeping the state, but you may have been mistaken. I'm certainly hopeful that Representative Cassada will take advantage of all of these incoming freshmen and move the state to the right, regardless of what the advisors that are around soon-to-be Governor Lee are telling him. I think it's really interesting if you look at the contrast between what Donald Trump has done the last 2 years and what appears is happening with the incoming governor, Lee. When Trump has a cabinet official who doesn't support his promise, he gets rid of them. And what it seems now to be is that all these little fiefdoms are being established in the governor's cabinet, whereby he's having to react to them as opposed to them having to react to him. Else, why would 7 of these 10 items in the 10 for 10 contract have been changed?
Very good point. And hey, Jeff, our good friend Jeff Hartline on us, Michael Patrick Leahy here, with a question for you, Jeff. So, July 3rd, 2018, Bill Lee puts out this promise 10 for 10, a contract with Tennesseans. He has a separate URL on his webpage. That webpage has disappeared. My question to you is, Jeff, does this hurt Bill Lee's biggest asset, which is his perceived integrity and honesty?
Well, I'm disturbed by it, I'll tell you. I don't know what other voters in the state think about that, but when you, once again, the contrast of the president is so stark. I mean, the president's adherents may not like hearing things about, Stormy Daniels and this and that and the other, but they see the president keeping his word, and they like it. Now, incoming Governor Lee has an opportunity here, I think, to restore confidence. Mine is shaken, I'll tell you, without reservation, when you come out and tell people, here's what I'm going to do, you elect me, and I'll make this happen.
Well, and to me, Jeff, one of the big things is what is – it's not just that 7 out of the 10 promises he made in his – again, his words, a contract with Tennesseans – it's not just that 7 of the 10 items have apparently been abandoned for his, quote, new priorities that are being set by his lobbyist buddies and Democrat and Rhino holdovers, but it's, creating an office of faith-based and community initiatives. Okay, so faith was a big part of who he was as a candidate, but apparently it's not going to be a big part of who he is as a governor. He was going to push, according to his promises, term limits and challenge the influence culture of insiders, basically the drain the swamp promise. And instead, he's bringing in lobbyists. He's bringing in lobbyists to help create his administration. He's putting in insiders to run his policies. It's what he's abandoned specifically that I think raises questions about his credibility as well.
Well, it's not possible to drain the swamp when you're bringing swamp dwellers in as plug pullers.
Or keeping them on board.
Possible.
Jeff, thanks for your call, and we'll catch up again soon. But I hope others that were big Lee believers are going to actually read his words before and his words after and not take our words for granted. Just go read it yourself, TennesseeStar.com. You can see his 10 promises and see what he has failed to adhere to. Let's go to Rob next. Rob, you're on the Tennessee Star Report with Steve Gill and Michael Patrick Leahy.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Just wanted to bring up, as property assessor over in Rutherford County, we had a commitment from Bill Lee's campaign that they would indeed support a constitutional amendment to forever ban the opportunity to reinstate the state property tax in Tennessee. Now, he got support across the state from property assessors on that promise. So,
now, did you get it in writing, although that may not matter much, Rob, because he put his 10 for Tennessee in writing. Did y'all get that in writing? Because apparently he's not willing to stick to what he promises in writing. I doubt that what he says carries more weight.
Well, the commitment was from his policy advisor. And during his campaign, he was the only one of the candidates that actually addressed that and brought it up in campaign debate.
Now, the policy advisor is Tony Nikdajad, who's also supposedly one of the big advocates of school choice that Bill Lee promised during the campaign, but now is not pushing forward as a priority. So, man, if that's what you're counting on, you better keep your hand on your wallet.
Well, it's something very important for the people of Tennessee, because when the Democrats back in 1949, when they went with a sales tax, we did have a state property tax up until then, but they kept it on the books because they knew it would be easier to institute a state property tax than it would be to institute an income tax, because logistically it's more difficult.
Well, and if it's already on the books, you can raise it easier. I mean, that was the concern we had when we were stopping the state income tax in Tennessee.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what they put it in at, what rate, they can raise it pretty quickly.
Well, right now, all the legislature currently has to do is assign a state property tax rate. Everything is in place, Steve. That's the danger. All they have to do is assign a rate. They don't have to pass anything, because it's already in the state constitution that it's there. It's by TCA statute that the rate is set to zero.
I think the good news, Rob, is I think the Republicans in the House, now I would say this with at least a little trepidation, because you know I would have counted on the Republicans in the House to have stopped a $300 million gas tax increase while Tennessee had a $2 billion surplus. So, you know, presumably Republicans in the House that are conservatives would not go along with raising property taxes, but I didn't think they'd raise gas taxes when we had a $2 billion surplus.
That's exactly the point. And are they going to, is the new governor going to rescind the gas tax?
I think it'll be interesting to see, Rob, who he puts in as his commissioner of transportation and commissioner of revenue. Is the revenue commissioner going to be somebody who was there and held over from Haslam, or an advocate of the gas tax increase that would indicate that, no, he's certainly not going to repeal it? He said on the campaign trail that you can't repeal taxes because they've already been passed. Now, of course, we've repealed the Hall income tax. We've lowered other taxes. We have given a $20 million a year tax break to FedEx on their fuel cost while we were raising taxes, $300 million on regular drivers. Of course, now, regular drivers usually aren't on the board of Pilot Oil Company like Fred Smith, the CEO of FedEx, who got his $20 million a year tax break while serving on the governor's family business board. But I think who we see put into these positions, like transportation, is it going to be somebody who was an advocate of the gas tax increase?
Most probably. That would be my guess. I mean, there are a lot of concerns out there. I mean, it's still not even 2019 yet. But the concern is that the focus on what was promised doesn't appear to be lining up currently. Now, you know, you always have to give the person the benefit of the doubt and wait and see what actually comes down when they're in.
But we're seeing his priorities. We're seeing who he's appointing, and we're seeing his priorities as put on his transition website in his words that don't fulfill the promises he made. Rob, thanks for your call. We appreciate it and appreciate your insight. 737-9522, 615-737-9522. This is the Tennessee Star Report.